Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:15 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is June 17th, and there have been some meaningful moves in volatility. It's just not in stock market volatility. We've certainly had a pop on the upside back in May, but now it's back at 15. The 15 level has been an area of resistance and and support over the course of the last year. Particularly back in the summer of 2018, it was an area of resistance before we had the pop on the upside in October that carried through all the way through until the peak in December. Since then, volatility has been coming down, and despite the little wobble we had in May, volatility has remained a little bit higher than it had been previously. It's unlikely it's going to go back below 10 anytime soon, so we have a somewhat more volatile environment in stock markets, but it's certainly not alarming anyone at present. Of course, we do have the Federal Reserve meeting this week, and when we look at bond market volatility, then we have a very different story indeed. It's up around 80, and back at the beginning of May it was at 45, so volatility has just about doubled since then. Well, I think it's important to have some perspective and look at this over the longer term, and volatility in bonds has been contracting, albeit in a jerky manner, since 2015. But this move we've had over the last couple of days has certainly broken that trend, and it suggests that we're moving into a much more volatile period for bonds. Of course, we've had a very pronounced move in the 10-year Treasury already. In fact, this is one of the most consistent trends anywhere, and the pace of this advance has been picking up. The little range that's been put in so far in June has been both shorter in duration but also narrower in amplitude than the moves that we saw in January through March and from April through to the end of May. And what that suggests is that people are increasingly pricing in the potential for interest rate cuts and a drive towards a safe haven. Quite whether it is one or the other of those particular motivations would be hard to pin down exactly. But there is no doubt that yields are coming down and coming down fast. And that is very much tied to the potential that the Federal Reserve is going to cut rates in July. It would be a surprise for the market if they were to cut this week. So we can certainly see that the 10-year yield is oversold in the short term, and it has approximately 50 basis points of an overextension relative to the trend mean. But despite the short-term overbought condition, then there is certainly scope here for a retest of the 150 area, and that is where the majority of the recessionary fears that people continue to express are being focused. But I think that there are other points that are worth considering. The Federal Reserve obviously is going to have a major influence on exactly what happens. The continued relative strength of the dollar is another point. Certainly the dollar has been more choppy over the last year, and it's pretty much now almost exactly where it was at the end of last year, but it did bounce rather emphatically on Friday from the region of the trend mean, so that has confirmed the continued pattern of higher to lateral ranging. The question, of course, is if the Federal Reserve is going to cut interest rates, are they going to preemptively end their policy of reducing the size of the balance sheet? And that's a big question for the dollar. But so is safe haven buying. And the fact that gold has retained its relative strength and been able to hold on to its gains over the last 2 days, despite the fact that it wasn't quite able to push above the $1,350 area on a sustained basis on Friday, it didn't pull back in a dynamic manner in here today. This continues to look like a bullish consolidation. And when we look at it on a weekly basis, the most important thing we've seen is that it has bounced emphatically from the region of the trend mean over the last 3 weeks. That really does hold out the prospect that this is a base formation and that the most likely course of trading is going to be to test higher levels. If gold can sustain a move above $1,350, then the only logical conclusion is that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Then, of course, we also need to pay attention to what's going on in the stock market, because we've had a pretty emphatic rebound that qualified as an upside key reversal for on a weekly basis for the Nasdaq and the S&P 500, and we had some follow through last week, not in an especially dynamic manner, but it was an emphatic bounce from the region of the trend mean. It rather suggests that despite the fact that we are continuing to see people worrying about a recession, and there is some legitimacy for thinking like that because of the PMI figures coming in negative, that the Empire State Manufacturing Index came in today, and that was also in negative territory, although that does tend to be a lot more jumpy than your regular PMI index. Then you have the slowdown that we're seeing in China, and that's perhaps more of a factor for China than it is for anywhere else. And the A-share index, however, remains absolutely steady. This is obviously a clear incentive by the rulers in China to continue to support asset prices. The last thing they want is to see weakness in asset prices. The H-share index is also range-bound. That's despite the fact that you had over 2 million people protesting in Hong Kong over the weekend. And there isn't likely to be an easy answer to this question of Hong Kong, because if Ms. Lam decides to resign, then they'll be emboldened to ask for more. If she does not resign, then they will continue to protest. Beijing has got very little tolerance for these democratic type of protests, not least because it could potentially embolden citizens of other cities within China to try the same sort of thing. So there is obviously a very taut environment here. Then, when we think about what is going on in terms of the renminbi, well, it was in mildly weak territory in here today, but so far it is exactly the same as the stock market. One of the reasons, therefore, why Bitcoin is doing better, and it was up $800 over the last 24 hours, is because of this stress in China, where there is a clear effort to hold the value of the stock market and of the currency markets. Well, then, the vehicle that people are using to express a view is Bitcoin, and that's another safe haven type of asset. Well, then we have to ask the question, is the rally that we're seeing in treasuries more a factor of that type of safe haven buying because of the reluctance to take a position against a background where there is this massive uncertainty about the trade war persisting? Or is it because of clear fears about a recession in the USA? That's, I think, one of the bigger questions. One thing that we can certainly say is that as long as the majority of indices are trading above their respective trend means, it would be hard to argue that we're in a bear market. So that, I think, is going to be the defining characteristic that we have in here. But what we also know is that private equity investors have really been pulling back from making big investments. The quantity of dry powder that private equity investors are holding is upwards of $3 trillion right now. When we look at the chart of the kind of venture capital financing that has been plowing into markets, well, last year was a record high. And that was one of the the factors that contributed to the big move upwards, that there was a lot of enthusiasm about the outlook for markets. But so far in here this year, well, we're halfway through the year, and so far weren't even halfway through at the size of investment that we had in the into the private equity sector last year. But what we are seeing is more IPOs, and that's a rather significant factor, because a lot of these companies that are coming towards coming up for IPO right now, they don't have any profits. But what we are starting to see is that companies like Lyft and Uber have at least stabilized, and Lyft was up over $2 in here today and coming up to the upper side of this range that's been put in since the middle of April. Uber is also coming up towards the region of that $45 area again, but obviously this is going to be all about risk appetite. When we look at some of the companies that had been bid up because of really aggressive growth forecasts, then Stitch Fix is one of those. It had a really spectacular advance right after the IPO, and then gave up the entire thing when it had a miss in terms of its growth. But that is also now starting to come back up towards the upper side of its range. Then Shopify hasn't yet had a miss in terms of its growth forecasts, so it's continuing to accelerate higher. And certainly the pace of the advance has steepened considerably since the beginning of this year. Twilio is another company that has been doing really spectacularly well in terms of the cloud and provision of software as a service and infrastructure, or I guess cloud infrastructure provision. It continues to hold a sequence of higher reaction lows, but it's looking rather overextended relative to the trend mean at present. Well, these sorts of leading shares, the kinds of companies that really represent the new economy, have continued to be reasonably steady. Then the really big companies in terms of their exposure to the high yield market, like Netflix, has at least bounced in here today above the three to push back above the $350 area. This is exactly where it absolutely needs to rally if this is still a demand dominated environment. Tesla, having been the most shorted share in America over the first half of this year, put in an upside Q reversal 3 weeks ago and is now following through on the upside. That is at least holding out the prospect that it can push back up towards the region of the trend mean. Quite whether it can sustain a move back above the $250 area remains to be seen, but this does look like a reasonably robust rally in here. And Facebook is also starting to steady here from the region of the trend mean. Now, they are going to make a big announcement this week about their cryptocurrency efforts. The one thing that Facebook does not have, which both Alibaba and Tencent have, is a payments mechanism. And Ant Financial and WeChat Pay are the crown jewels in the portfolios of Jack Ma and Pony Ma, respectively. Obviously, Facebook runs the risk of antitrust if it moves into the payments sector, but it's something that goes very much hand in hand with the aspirations of the company, because it would allow them to monetize the user base that it has built up, and 2.5 billion users is substantially larger than either Alibaba or Tencent, and therefore it's a very rich potential market for the company if they can pull it off. And that could be a catalytic event in terms of the company's ability to push back above the $200 area successfully. So certainly there are issues out there about the valuation, about the fact that private equity firms are increasingly not investing in new ventures, but much, much more thinking about exits from existing ventures. And that is late cycle activity. Then we have the fact that the Federal Reserve is getting pushed towards cutting interest rates. The much bigger point is the language that's going to come with it and how aggressive they're going to be in cutting interest rates. If all they do is cut by a quarter of a point to just simply say that they were over egging it to raise rates at the end of last year, so that they're reversing that one cut and that they're going to hold off on doing anything else, that would probably be taken rather positively by stock markets. If they start the cutting cycle with a 50 basis point cut, then that is likely to damage confidence, and that could be a significant factor in a corrective phase for stock markets. So what happens in terms of the Federal Reserve is going to be meaningful. And then I think it's also worth paying attention to what's going on in the commodity complex. One thing that is a factor right now is that bad weather in the USA has had a rather disastrous effect on this year's corn crop, and that is contributing to the price rising. But this is also the most seasonally attractive period for the corn price. So the next big question is whether this rally has the staying power to sustain this move above $4 when we get it moving into the next roll, which will be at the end of this month. It's a similar condition for soybeans, which were able to push back above the trend mean in here today. And then we have lean hogs. Again, this is another commodity that has been doing well as a result of an exogenous factor such as the swine flu in China. This is the seasonally most attractive period of time for the commodity because we're heading up towards the slaughter schedule. So once they start slaughtering, then we're going to have a surge in supply. But if it can hold the move above $80, then that is going to suggest that we are in a demand-dominated environment beyond short terms, beyond the short term. So this is a rather important area to pay attention to in terms of these commodities. Then oil prices were weak again in here today, and this continues to look like a corrective phase, and it looks quite likely that we're going to be in a more volatile environment for oil prices for the foreseeable future. And the most likely scenario is that we're going to be ranging between about 35 to 40 and between $75 to $80 for the foreseeable future. So the lower oil prices come, the better that is for the global economy. One of the lead indicators for future recessions is surging energy prices, and we certainly do not have that at the present time. Then when we think about the banking sector, well, it rallied rather well last week, and it was in negative territory in here today, but it has held the sequence of higher reaction lows. It is not breaking down. Obviously, it is not leading on the upside either. So we do need to see banks doing somewhat better, although that is going to be a challenge against a background where interest rates are likely to start to come back down. And then the Russell 2000 index was in positive territory in here today. It is pushing back up towards the upper side of the range. The dynamic of the rebound back up above the 1500 point level has been more dynamic than the dynamic of the breakdown. Well, that suggests that there is a likelihood we're going to see it at least trade back up towards 1600 points, and that view would certainly be bolstered if it can push back above the trend mean. So I do think that there is a lot of fear out there right now about a recession. It's also one of the most telegraphed recessions in at least in my experience. So that I think probably makes it less likely to occur. The one thing that I'm very conscious of is that we've had an upside key reversal on stock markets. Some of the world's largest companies are starting to firm up. A number of even the most highly levered companies are starting to do better. And Then we look at the fact that we're in the second half, or approaching at least the second half of the third year of the US presidential cycle, which is usually characterized by some easing from the central bank, which promotes a rather positive environment on stocks. I think that there is at least a fighting chance that yes, valuations are currently reasonable, and that they have the potential to become unreasonable before this market eventually succumbs. And what that suggests is that we have to at least give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, particularly in view of the upper dynamics that we've just seen, and that there is the scope that this 18-month range on Wall Street is going to be resolved on the upside. That's particularly the case as long as these indices continue to trade above their respective trend means. And that also holds out the prospect that this bond market rally is looking rather overbought, and that there is scope for a reversion back towards the mean. And in fact, if this trend is going to remain consistent, that it would have to be the base case. If buying today is would really be betting that this trend is going to accelerate higher, and it is that's obviously a potential outcome, but it is a risk at these levels. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.